This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And this is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cozy Texas.
And on today's Skirted Roundtable, we're going to be talking about the little details that make a room work, the finishing touches, accessorizing, creating displays or doing your shelves, things like that. So it's sort of all the little details that make a room work.
The little things that mean a lot.
Dead silence.
Joni, I thought you were going to hop in there.
Okay. Y'all want me to go first?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Well, didn't you just do a full shelving thing?
Yeah, I did. Okay, that's what I was going to talk about. I think, well, I'll just talk about doing shelves first, because everyone has bookshelves, and, you know, how do you decorate a bank of bookshelves? And I love books. And, you know, there are people that think books belong in the bookshelf, but I think the books you read, you know, should be in a hidden bookshelf. And then if you have a nice family room and you want to decorate your shelves, I like to use antique books. Those can be very costly, though. So what I did was I went on eBay and I bought a pallet of antique books that was $7 a piece, y'all.
That's great. How much was shipping was it?
The whole thing with shipping was $7 a book.
Wow.
A book.
But they're nice. They're really leather-bound antique books. And all different sizes. And they come on a pallet. And there are boxes and boxes of them. There's like over 450 books.
Wow.
So that would be a great savings that I can pass on to my client. But I had to do a whole big bank of bookshelves for a newly installed shelving unit. And we had painted the room dark brown. So I bought some big white ironstone platters to make, you know, to make it pop.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put antique books that I got at Round Top that were lighter brown than the brown, you know, so they showed up. I like to use globes. I love antique globes, but those also are costly. So there's great copies.
You know, though, you can find the antique globes. Well, you can find them on Etsy. Every once in a while, there's a vintage vendor who sells vintage, and you'll find globes and that sort of thing. And kind of like the ironstone and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
For people who don't have access to some of the, you know, shops that you do as a designer and know, you can find ironstone on eBay quite a bit.
Right. And ironstone, I guess everyone knows that reads my blog, I recently took out all my transferware, blue and white, and put in all creamware, which is a darker shade. It's cream. The white is much cheaper than the creamware. It's very reasonable. I bought huge platters for like $80, $90.
And I think it is much more reasonable because there is a lot of it out there, which is great for the, you know, for people out wanting to start collecting.
And it's not fine. It's not a fine product, but it's a great look. But let's say you're saying $90. I don't even want to spend $90. I would then go to IKEA and get white dinner plates, you know, and just plain white plates. And that still gives you that pop of color against the dark. Now, say you have white shelves. You know, then it's better to do books, globes, and a great thing to do is to paint the back of the shelf a deeper color so that things will pop on it.
You can also go to places like Home Goods and TJ Maxx and get, they've got some, you know, pretty nice looking, again, not fine, but nice looking sort of reproduction creamware and things like that for...
And reproduction transferware, which
yeah.
is a color that would pop against the white.
Right.
It's mostly to get things that are going to, you know, just stand out. A great trick people do, let's say you can't afford antique books or your books are ugly. A lot of people these days are turning their books the other way so that you just see the white pages.
Yeah.
I see people, if they're going to do that, you know what, it's funny because I was just at the J. Crew in my neighborhood and they had done that all along the top as a, you know, display. And you know what I've seen done also is stamping, getting an old-fashioned stamp and stamping the name of the book on the
the pages. Because I was wondering that. It's like, well, then how do you find your book?
If it's... Yeah, so you do it, like, you know, all of them consistently, like, right in the middle or right along the top so that it creates that pattern. But another thing, of course, that I think, you know, really became trendy and faddish about 2 years ago was taking the dust cover off. You want to save it, if not, but then categorizing them by color block.
Yeah.
Right.
That's too... That's I don't like that.
You feel like it's too contrived?
I will tell you this, though. If I'm doing a book with just books, you know, that not antique books, I always take off the dust cover. The books
always.
Are usually prettier, you know, without that shiny dust cover. And they do kind of start to look, you know, maybe vintage without the dust cover. But I always remove them. And then put them underneath in a, you know, in a cabinet. And no one ever goes back and reads the dust cover.
Well, if you really need... I know you don't.
You don't need it. No, I think that's a good idea. I have to say, I'm not... I have a real strong practical streak, and my accessorizing, things like that, really, I want the things to be useful. So personally, I'm not a big fan of like a whole wall of books that nobody actually looks at. You know, they're just sort of for display. A few of them I think are pretty, but I'm that way
with you too, Linda. Like when, you know, I mean, I hear what you're saying, Joni, when you have a client, you're filling it in.
And I definitely think it can be beautiful. It's just not, it's sort of goes against my...
Now, if you get like a whole, you know, like Joni was saying, if you can find an antique, you know, lot of, I don't know, 10, 15 books that are, you know, beautifully bound, that's different. I think those are, you know, like a piece of, you know, a bit of art.
But they
like
don't go far, Megan. I bought like 40 books and they were gone so quickly.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I'm not talking about... I'm talking about in a nice room.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, I understand.
Let's say in Houston, you walk in the first room is people take the small living room and turn it into like an office, but they don't really use it as an office. And, you know, you don't want to just junk it up. You want it, you know, to look decorative. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your library where your real books are and all that. I'm talking about when you want to decorate a shelving unit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
I remember reading Albert Hadley someone asked him something about, you know, what do you think of all these books that people are using as props? You know, for a while we were seeing the same ones used over and over. And I even have one of them, the zebra striped one, I have it. I like it. I couldn't. You have the giraffe one too.
Yes,
it's a good one. I still like them, and I know everyone. There are a lot of people out there that are just so bothered by those. But I remember reading someone asking Albert Hadley what he thought about people having books as props that they don't really read, and he said something about, I hope people aren't doing that. Are they doing that?
So you're saying that Brooke Astor's library that he did was filled, all those books were read?
I don't know. It was a quote. I actually have the quote on my blog someplace a couple years ago.
Okay.
Because I thought it was so funny. Because you do, you know, so many designers actually, you know, you buy these antique lots of books. And
I will confess to this. I have had many clients that don't read. And they have no books in the house, and I, you know, I'm not going to put antique books in there. And what I do is there's a place in Houston called Half Price Books, and they sell books by the box. They've never been read. They're novels without the dust cover, never been read. They're like horrible novels. There's not anything great. And they sell a whole box of it for $25. So you can have an instant... Mm-hmm. library for $100 for, you know, your clients that have no book. You have to have books in the bookcase, though, you know?
Right. You can also mix in, you know, small pieces of art. I like art hung on bookcases.
I like that look. Yeah. You know, sort of the unusual displays of things or, and I'm not against, you know, books. For instance, if you found, you know, an old collection of playwrights plays or old literature books that, you know, you might actually open up and read. I think that's great. And if it's, you know, ends up being more decorative, fine. I'm just, I like my accessories to actually have practical uses. But I do love, I love the like little framed paintings on just like on top of the bookcase. Mm-hmm. I think that's
like
a really neat.
Like a little precious one. Yeah. With a little gold frame.
I love that.
Pretty. I do too.
I don't have any bookcases myself, and I just have baskets filled with books.
Oh, yeah. Were the ones you just did, Joni, were they built-ins? Because so many people have, you know, I don't have any built-ins in the house I live in. They're not always available.
Well, the whole...
That was a hutch kind of thing, wasn't it?
It was a living room. No, that was another one.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, you're right.
Across the street. This was a living room that they turned into an office, like I just said. And so when you walk in, it's to the immediate right. The whole back wall was built, you know, we made a built-in. But what we did is we ran the bookcases just on the left and just in the right. And in the middle was a huge expanse of nothing, you know. So I hung a painting and a, you know, like a fish painting because it's his office. And above it, I bought an antique convex mirror.
Oh, that sounds pretty.
Hmm. Yeah, so that was the middle, whole middle section. But then both sides, you know, it's painted dark brown. So then I bought these ironstone. I've used antique books. I bought the kind of books that are just paperbacks without the covers on them, basically, and they're tied up together. And they're white. You know, they're kind of trendy right now.
Yeah.
Hmm. So I bought a bunch of those from Aiden Gray. And, you know, just stuck those up there for more white pop and, you know.
One thing
I've urns. I use a lot of urns in my shelves, too.
Yeah. One thing I've seen on bookshelves that I actually like as a kind of a neat idea, particularly if you move into a house and you don't have a lot to fill up the shelves with yet, is to paint. You know, obviously, as you said, paint the back a different color or a darker color, but to paint them maybe slightly different colors. So that you get an actual variety among all the little cubbies that sort of creates variation and decoration without anything but the paint. You know, it could be bright and vivid if that's the way you want to go, or it could just be a subtle, you know, subtle gradations in shade just to create a sense of movement so your eye is not just stuck on this big bank of nothing as you sort of find things to put in.
But I do think going again to a garden shop and, you know, collecting concrete animals, mm-hmm. like little ones, those are great. Big space, they take up a lot of space in a shelf, you know, because when you've got a big thing of shelves and you're trying to make it decorative, it's hard. It's expensive too.
It's very expensive, yeah.
You know, and it seems like I've had a lot of shelves to fill up. Well, with my neighbor, the one that I just did, what I was talking about with the living room, you know, I came back and I was going shopping in my own garage for her, you know, because I thought I'd bought enough for her. I way over the budget, spent too much. So then I was like going through my leftovers, you know, what could I add? Because it gets so darn expensive.
And can always be those final touches that end up costing, you know, it's like the jewelry. You can spend a lot more on your jewelry than you do on your whole outfit.
It looked good in the end. It really did. So
that's beautiful.
Anyway.
I think something that we all, I mean, it's obvious to us, but just remembering to not just line all your books up. We're not talking about line them all up like little soldiers, you know, stack some of them on their sides. Put a little something on top of that, you know, just so there's movement with all the lines, you know?
Yeah.
That's something we could really discuss is how do you balance a shelf? And there's a woman in town that does styling, and she's in a local magazine, and she says, start from the top, and your focal point, on each shelf, you would have a focal point. So you start from the top. The top shelf, your focal point would be on the left. The next shelf, it would be on the right. The next shelf, back to the left, to the right, to the left. You know, like if you're decorating with an object.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like if you're decorating with books and an object. You know, so
that's pretty fail-proof. It sounds like you couldn't really mess that one up.
It's an easy way to make it, you know, balanced.
Well, I'm meaning put a large item up on the left and then sort of bring it down and then sort of...
Go from left to right to left to right. With the, like, say you've got a clock, you've got a globe, you've got a you know, a dog.
Start with a larger, heavier mass first.
Yeah, and then go from left to right to left to right to left. And then put your books in on the other side, put some on the side, put some up and down. And before you know it, you've got a great balance.
Even some of those beautiful covered leather-covered boxes, like a stack of three of those. Or even, you know, for a pop of color, I just was thinking, you know, if you have any Hermes boxes, those orange boxes, they're such a great color. But I think even West Elm carries those, and they're a great place to stick stuff, like loose photographs.
And another thing to remember is don't put a lot of little stuff, you know, in your shelf. It gets lost.
Right, and cluttered looking.
The bigger, the better in shelves. The more impact you can have. And these little, you know, I go to houses. I was at one today, and I was looking at her shelves, and they were just filled with little things all over, and none of it made an impact, you know. It was just boring to look at, so.
Now, what about things like the ubiquitous throw over the side of a chair in a warm climate, or things like that, you know, the sort of standard stuff that people throw in a room just because everybody does.
You know, I used to always do that. Always. And I've kind of lately gotten away from it. Aren't you kind of tired of just seeing that throw
yes.
over the chair?
Yeah.
I don't like it because it feels messy to me. And I think when you have little kids, it's always about picking up and putting away. And so we do have a couple of throws, but I always require them, when you're not using them, fold it up and put in the armoire.
I have them in my house on my couch, but it's really for the dogs. You know, like the dogs sit on the
throw,
so I don't have to wash the slip cover every week. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, if you're in a cold climate in the winter, then a throw is, you know, you're going to use it. But if it's something that's just there, unless it's serving like you needed the pop of color kind of concept. But just to have it there, to me, it just, you get so sick and tired of seeing.
It feels staged to me. When we'd stage houses just for color or a little softness, we'd just throw it on.
Right.
But I feel like in a real home, I'm not sure.
You know what, another thing I've been noticing I've been doing the last, 2 years or so, is I used to always do, fabric pattern pillows on a sofa. Always. It was always a pattern. And I'm noticing that I'm going to big blocks of color, like today the sofa was a taupe, and I got velvet, like a deep red velvet pillows.
Where do you have pattern in the room?
No, I don't. That's what I'm saying. I'm getting away from pattern, and I'm just putting these color blocks. And so instead of the throw, it's like coming through the velvet pillows. I'm like kind of stuck on that look right now, I think.
Well, I mean, velvet is such a great texture because it has mm-hmm. such a sheen and such a, you know, feel. You know what it's going to feel like when you look at it.
And I love it with linen. I love velvet and linen.
That's a great name for a blog.
Isn't that funny, though? But I do. So I've been, today it hit me, gosh, every job you're doing lately, you've got velvet pillows on a white, you know, a light colored sofa. But I don't know, I like that look right now instead of the throw. I just like.
Pillows are a great way to change out the look anyway. I mean, it's
seasonally,
What do you like? Do you like a coffee table that's totally clean, or do you like devoid of any little things, or are you guys people who stack the books and change
design
it out?
Design books were made for coffee tables, I think.
Right.
Yeah, they were.
Right.
I loved a stack of design books.
Do you remember a couple of months ago, House Beautiful did the, you know, when they do these sort of roundups where they ask people to submit a picture, different designers, and one was, you know, designer, what's on your coffee table? And all of these famous designers, you know, sent in a picture of their own coffee table, all of which were, like, staged to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at my coffee table, and it's just piled with design books, all the ones I'm sent to review, and products, and, you know, the blads and the sheet. And I took a picture of my coffee table and Twitter and put it on Twitter and said, "Hey, house beautiful. This is what a real designer's coffee table looks like."
Yes, you know, because I'm laughing at mine. It's always just a pile of just bins crap.
Well, yeah, I have a hard time like decorating unless I'm having the pictures taken. You know, and yes, if I'd been asked to contribute to that, I probably would have staged my table too, but my coffee table. But, you know, I'm not very good with the little, a coffee table is a work surface for me, you know, to have a little decorative, whether it's, you know, you're having cocktails or you're having, you know, it's good for candles, but just to have this perfectly, everything so perfectly, pristinely laid out on it just doesn't work in my real life. I'm just more likely to just throw a whole pile of books on it.
I'm really into coffee tables lately that are high. That's been my latest thing for the last couple of years, is bringing the coffee table up higher than, you know, like almost 27 inches or 25 inches.
Well, that gets it kind of more to the old-fashioned tea table.
Right.
Which is nice.
You can write on it. Yeah. You can eat on it. You don't need to pull up one of those horrible
tray tables.
And when we switched ours out, it was great, you know, because we started really using our coffee table as a table.
Where do you find, what are they, antiques usually? Because it's such an odd height.
They would have to
be like an English antique.
Yeah, well, mine was actually a dough table, which is in France, where they actually put the dough in the table. Mm-hmm. So it's lower than a dining table, but higher than a coffee table.
See, my coffee table in my living room is a big old, it's from Crate and Barrel, old wooden storage trunk. Because I've always, everywhere I live, I don't have enough storage. So to me, that's like all my Christmas decorations, or a lot of them are in that trunk, crammed in there because, you know, it's just big and bulky. But I like the fact I can put my feet up on it and stack it with 25 books.
That's a great look. And another great look is if you can find an old trunk, or what you're saying. If not, get a huge wicker box.
Right.
You know, they make them now huge, and I love that look. What is your favorite way to decorate, put on a dining table?
You mean like in a formal dining room?
Yeah, I have problems with those.
For actual dining, or for like what it looks like every day?
You know, like if you've got a client and you've got a dining table and you need to put something on it, what would you put on it?
I usually have this big ceramic tray that is sort of a pale green, and it has like a filigree pattern around it. And I, you know, sort of goes with my mood. Like sometimes I've got candles on it, or I've got a silver tea set, or flower. You know, it's sort of like whatever I kind of feel like throwing on it that fits at the moment. And then if I need to move it around, I can move it around. But that usually stays on my table all the time.
Sitting here trying to think, I haven't had a formal dining room in 7-8 years, so I'm trying to remember. I have some, just like you were saying, old antique silver that had been given to me many years ago. And I've got a big, you know, a big tray, like Linda was saying, and I tend to put different things on it. At Christmas time, you load it up with greenery and, you know, different heights of candlesticks and candles.
Yeah, it's hard to do. Like right now, I've got a client with a dining room table, and I, you know, it's hard to come up with something besides two candles and a bowl in the middle.
Right.
You know?
Right. One of the things I like about the tray is that I put everything on the tray, and if I have to move it, I can just pick up the tray and everything goes with it. I'm not moving all these little things. I use my dining room table as, it's a work surface, it's a craft. I destroyed the top of my actual dining room table, so I always have to have a couple of tablecloths on it. I destroyed it by doing craft projects. I had a New Year's Eve party where candles burned, and I ended up with a little fire on top of the table. You know, it's a good party when things light on fire. So I always have to cover it up, and so that's sort of, that tray just kind of works as a quick, put it on the table and then get it off the table. If I'm going to sew, that's where
I
sew.
Do you do a runner? Really quick runner with something in the middle?
Never.
I do runners sometimes during the holidays. Yeah. Runners to me are like a holiday thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're kind of...
It has to be a really nice one, though, because those can look cheesy fast.
They can
I think that's a personal thing, you know?
I don't own one.
Yeah.
Runners are, though, I mean, there's a practical application in that. When you're serving food, and they actually catch a lot that doesn't make it onto your dining room, you know, the serving pieces. I think that, you know, if you keep all the food sort of on the runner, it may save your dining room tablecloth.
Oh, you put it on top of the tablecloth?
Yeah, I've usually done it on top.
I guess you do, don't you? Yeah. I just don't own one, so I don't even know when I would...
But yeah, I mean, I've seen them too if you have like a really nice looking table, which at the moment I don't. I mean, I've got paint stuck on my table now, because now I don't care. Once I ruined it, it's actually better.
Is this in your formal dining
room? Yeah.
Do you have a fireplace in it?
No. No, I don't have
I love a fireplace in a dining room.
Oh, so do I. So do
my
I.
My last two houses had a dining room fireplace. That's why I asked.
Oh.
It's so nice. I know. It's so amazing. You can, you know, put a mirror over it and then put candles on in front of it and it just bounces it off and it seems, you know, in the evening put a fire in the fireplace.
I want a new house.
I know, me too. I want a new house with a kitchen.
I have a fireplace in this one, so I'd love to hear. What do you guys do with the mantle? I would love to do with a mantle.
Yeah, I don't have a fireplace in this condo. I had one in my last one and I loved doing the mantle because that's the only place of my own. I mean, obviously my parents' houses always had fireplaces and mantles, but of my own, that condo is the only time I've done mantles except in show houses. And I just love doing mantles because you can just do so much or so little, like what the, you know, a perfectly placed flower and nothing else can be just so beautiful on a mantle, or you can just gob it up with all sorts of neat little things.
You don't have to have a fireplace to have a mantle.
Right. Right.
You know, Pure Style Home in her new house, she put that mantle, then covered the hole up and with, I think it's like a piece of wood or something. I can't remember exactly. And it adds such atmosphere.
It really does. Without,
you know, when you don't have a real fireplace, just the mantle, you can decorate it. You know, I mean, yeah, that was a great idea she had.
Yeah. How you guys, what is your position on silk flowers versus dried flowers versus live flowers or plants?
I'm big. I kill most houseplants because it's just one more thing I have to take care of. and so I forget to water them. I'm so bad about it. So I tend to buy orchids, which even if I forget to water, will live in my house for a good month. So I do buy orchids a lot because they're easy. They are a little bit of live greenery in my house. I've seen those really nice. There is a company, Joni will probably remember the name. I think she's out of New York, who does really beautiful, realistic silk flowers. I personally have never used them, nor probably would I, but these look gorgeous and they look real.
Yeah, but once you've got silk flowers, you never really see them. You just know they're not real in your mind, and you don't look at them. You don't look to see if they're healthy or are they dying or...
They never change. They just get dusty.
Dusty,
And I know in feng shui, the it's very much about no dried flowers, because dried flowers...
Really? I love lavender. Well, there's that beautiful blog, True Bay, and she has a hedge of lavender in her backyard. It's the most gorgeous. At first I thought it was from France. It's her backyard. And she harvests her lavender and has this huge bucket, a European bucket, and she puts the lavender in it on her mantel place. It is the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen.
Yeah,
that's a dried flower that I would definitely have in my house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you have to switch it out. You know, I'm sure she swaps it out every year.
Yeah.
It's the problem
And I also like dried hydrangeas.
Yeah, I love dried
hydrangeas. I like dried hydrangeas. Right. Yeah, we used to have those in my house growing up. I love those.
But I think you're right. I think people put that stuff in there, and it's kind of, and then they forget all about it, the dried flowers and the silk, and they just get nastier and nastier looking. Because people
have
stopped.
It seems like a bad idea, the silk.
People have stopped looking at them.
I do love fresh flowers, and, you know, about once a month or twice a month, Ben goes every Friday to the grocery store, and he'll bring home flowers. But me, I'll buy a potted plant of hydrangeas or an orchid, and it lasts for a month or two, and you know, it's not expensive. The
hydrangeas. I do the potted hydrangeas too. I buy those too.
Yeah, those are beautiful. Now, what about potted plants? Because those were very hot for a long time, and then all of a sudden,
ferns. Everyone's doing ferns, potted ferns.
I know. Now. Yeah, they're coming back again. Potted plants.
Yeah, I have one. It's not. Sometimes it just looks nice to soften up a hard edged room.
Yeah. I've always been a fan of having plants because I think that it just adds something living and organic. And
I think it's beautiful. And bathroom. I love, you know, around it, if you've got a tub that allows it, you know, a collection, maybe three different kinds of ferns, you know, with different soft leaves.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of in a blue and white. It depends on your space.
Yeah, there's nothing prettier than an orchid in a bathroom, though, on a bathtub.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And see, I'm kind of like you, Megan. Plants and I don't get along all that well. I don't really kill them, but they don't really thrive either. So
yeah.
I like the look, but I'm not very good at taking care of them. They dry out and get mad at me.
Yeah, I'm not good at it. Although now that we're talking about it, it's making me think, gosh, I haven't gone out and bought any great plants in a while because I think the last ones I did have died.
Anna Spiro, I think she buys fresh flowers every Friday, and when I see her blog, it spurns me on to think.
That's a great idea. You know what? That's one of those things where I think people forget to treat themselves, and they think, you know, oh, I always forget. If you have a day like Friday's perfect because you may end up having dinner parties or even having your own little dinner, buying flowers, and they don't have to be expensive. Grocery store flowers are just great. You might have to get rid of some of the weird, you know, eucalyptus and
carnations,
babies. right. Although, you know what? I've been seeing, and I never, ever thought I would say this. I've been seeing red carnations in blue and white, you know, china and little, and it's starting to look, I swear to you, sort of pretty. Like, oh, you know, Eddie Ross did some.
Oh yeah, he's done some stuff with the carnations. Yeah,
it's like if you take a really a bunch of them and really do a tight gathering of them, it's actually really pretty.
Well, nothing is cuter than a couple dozen daisies.
Right.
Oh,
actually, I think a whole bunch of carnations are great. It's when they're mixed in, when they're all just carnations, I think it's great. It's when they're mixed in as filler flowers, then they start.
Like pink carnations, two dozen.
That's very pretty.
Pink carnations.
And
You've got to have a lot. Yeah, tight.
And they have to be really, it has to be like half a globe, it has to all be sort of smooth, and it can't just be up and down all over the place.
Yeah.
No, it has to be a bunch.
Oh, and speaking of Eddie Ross, I'd like to give a little shout out to Eddie's Halloween show on HGTV and how, you know, I think it's amazing that they didn't ask the three of us to do the Halloween decorating special.
I know.
Considering our well-established position.
I know. He's so full of ideas.
And I have to say, of the three houses, his was the only one I liked. The other two were just...
I didn't see it, but I would totally agree.
The other two were just... The other two were just so god-awful. His were... His was all natural stuff. It was very Eddie.
You know what? He knows how to do things like that without making it look kitsch or, junky.
Well,
he's
just so darling.
Right.
He's just precious.
And so that's our little Skirted Roundtable curmudgeon shout out to Eddie Ross.
They should have asked us to do what we would have done.
Okay, we've talked for like...
I had something else.
Well, okay, I'm just saying we talked for 42 minutes already.
Okay.
Yeah. So put it in there and I'll take out something else.
Lampshades.
White. Cream.
Always, 100%?
Yeah, I think I'm getting to that point. I used to do different color ones, but I really prefer... just the simple different shapes so you can really see the shapes, but white or cream.
I used to be a black lampshade lady. Every lampshade in my house was black.
When, and, like 5 years ago? Because I went through that too.
Yeah, like 10 to 5 years. A long span of time. Every lampshade was black, paper black.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm a round shade. It has to be round.
Drum shade.
And lately for clients, I've been, especially in bedrooms, taking the major fabric and having it, the fabric glued onto the shade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be pretty in a bedroom.
Yeah. And I love Pottery Barn shades.
Oh, I know. They have great ones.
Restoration Hardware has.
Restoration Hardware.
Yeah.
Great shade.
I love like a pagoda shaped shade. Ones like that, I think, just a really interesting shape shade. But I really like the white or cream because I want the light, the lamp to actually spew light.
I have one that's a seagrass and it's sort of a tall drum and it's really pretty.
I love those.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I like the texture and I like, Joni, I like what you're talking about. I think that sounds really...
Well, in my family room, I have the antique map of Paris on my lampshades. And I love that.
Did you have them made?
No, I bought them.
And then what's on the inside?
In the inside, they're just cream. Mm. And the outside, it's not even a drum. It's like a modified drum. But, oh my God, I love it. I just love those. You know that antique map?
Yeah. I saw that on your blog. It's pretty.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
Yeah. I've shown them ad nauseum.
Now, I will say I do have, on my chandelier, I have mini black shades, silk black shades.
I love that.
Which is very...
And I take the shades off.
I take them off, and they came without them, and then I finally got some and put them on. And I like the look with them on, but they do darken the room considerably.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, because they're so black, obviously. They have gold.
And all my bulbs are silicone tipped. Do y'all use those?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Nope.
Really?
No, You mean the ones with the silver on the...
No, they're literally dipped in silicone, the tip of the bulb. And it comes up into a flame, and it looks pretty realistic.
Oh, the flame. No, I don't use any of the flame ones.
But no, these aren't regular flame. They're actually hand-dipped in silicone.
They sound beautiful. Where do you get them?
Actually, I bought a box of them on Amazon.
You know, I think, though, you and I, I mean, I live in this little funky beach house, so I tend to do things in this house a little less traditionally. You know, I have a big kind of a bird cage fake
bamboo
chandelier over my kitchen table, oversized, and it's kind of a coral color. And instead of doing the flame, I did the big round little, little globe. And they just, to me, they work better because that space is, it's supposed to be kind of fun and whimsical. This is not a house that I could make formal if I wanted to, or traditional if I wanted to. I mean, I could, but it just wouldn't fit the vibe of where we are.
Yeah. No, I agree. I love your big round globes in your hanging fixture. But if you do have chandeliers, Google it. Silicone tip light bulbs. And they're looking.
And did you put them with a more formal chandelier? See, I think when you have a more formal chandelier, you have to do that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many options you have. You really would.
And always, when you do a chandelier, and you always get the frosted bulb.
Yes.
If you get the clear bulb, you'll get shadows all over the room.
I like shadows.
You do?
I like the clear bulbs. I can't stand frosted bulbs.
Really? I like the diffused light of the frosted.
I do too.
I like the sparkle of a brighter, harder look. But I have really tall ceilings. I have vaulted ceilings. So my chandelier is... I mean, my chandelier is not that near my ceiling.
But it doesn't cast funky shadows all over the room.
Yeah, but she likes it.
I do actually personally like I've been to seminars where decorators will talk about, you know, how the light hit and, oh, that wasn't right and blah, blah, blah. And I'm kind of like, I like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's a little...
With a vaulted ceiling, there's more, I mean, you're right. The light, you know, the
light is diffused by the time it gets up to my ceiling.
Right.
You know, it's funny that you say you like that. Like, I'll go to a client with six of the bulbs, the silicone tip bulbs, and say, here, change these. You know, I mean, it's just funny what people like.
Yeah.
It's also personal,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you like having lights on during the day. I don't like lights on during the day.
Yeah, I don't either.
Every light on during the day.
I only like it if it's cold and rainy out, like yesterday when I turned every single light on. But otherwise... I like the natural light.
But my bulbs, they're all those silicone tip bulbs, and they're only like 6 watts. So they're so light. I mean, they're so dim. It's not like blazing light. But how do you see a chandelier if it's not lit? I don't. It just looks dead to me.
That's true.
I don't know. I think it becomes more sculptural.
I just, if it's not, if you're not using the dining room, I guess for some reason I don't like the lights being on. And
oh, I mean, that's the first thing I do in the morning is I go in the dining room, turn on my chandelier, go in the living room, turn on the chandelier, all the way. It drives me crazy, though.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Cote to Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. Thank you so much for joining us. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com, or you can download our podcasts from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thanks so much, and we'll be back soon.